The sermon tonight will be very simple. It'll be very, very practical. I don't think it will take long, and we'll be on our way. But I want you to, I hope that we will all learn the lesson of tonight, and in a special way. Earlier, we read from John chapter 6 and John chapter 14. In both passages of Scripture, we are reading about a man by the name of Philip. Philip was one of the people that Jesus had drawn unto himself. There's something unique about Philip. I think Philip was a little slower moving. Philip was a little more of a cautious disciple of Jesus. Nothing wrong with that. Peter was impetuous. Peter was in a hurry. Peter would get himself in trouble by speaking so quickly and being so aggressive, almost aggressive to the point of being unwise. And then you have James and John. They were called the sons of thunder. I think, again, these were loud and bombastic young men and in a hurry. And I'll tell you this. I think that there's some of you, you're so slow that if you don't start moving, you're going to turn into a rock. But in the case of Philip, he was cautious. He was wise. And I want to talk about that for a little while. In John chapter 6, verse 5, 6, and 7, here's the story. You read it a moment ago. But a great multitude had come to Jesus. The crowd was hungry. And Jesus asked Philip, he said, where should we buy bread? You say, why did he ask Philip that? Because the area in which this crowd had gathered was in Philip's home area. And they had a certain amount of money. The disciples did. They had a certain amount of money. And all these people had come unto Jesus. And Jesus said to Philip, said, where can we buy bread? Philip began to do some calculating. And Philip said, well, I know where we can get bread. But Jesus, that this massive group of people, the amount of money that we have, we're not going to have enough money to buy everybody bread so everybody could have a little bit. Let me explain. I realize that some, and maybe all of us could say, Philip had a little lack of faith there, but I want you to know, I think Philip also was doing some calculating and Philip was being wise. I think Philip looked at it and he said, look, if we're going to spend money to buy this bread, we don't have enough money to buy bread for all these people. What was Philip doing? I think Philip was calculating. I think Philip was thinking. I think Philip was being cautious. I think Philip was planning. I think Philip was trying to think through things because he wanted to do it right. Philip was cautious. He was cautious. Then, in John chapter 14, we read the story. Philip and Jesus were talking. Listen to this. It said, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, showeth the Father. And it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, showest the Father? Now, you say Philip was slow to believe Jesus here. Well, let me explain something here. Philip and Jesus were discussing virtually the concept of the Trinity. Jesus is saying to Philip, Philip, if you know me, you know the Father. Now, you have to understand, when that concept is first being delivered to the human race, that Jesus and God are one and the self-same, and that Jesus was God come in the flesh, you have to understand, that's a little bit of a difficult thing to believe right off the bat. And Philip had now been, Jesus said, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. And Philip began to calculate. He began to think. He began to ponder. He began to reason. He said, well, how is that? Now, someone might say, Philip, he didn't have faith. Well, maybe, but could I say, maybe Philip was just trying to think through this thing and Philip wanted to make sure what he was being told was right. And I'm glad of that. I mean, listen, you say, Brother Owens, explain the Trinity to me. Well, the Trinity, the first part of that word, tri, that prefix, tri means three. When you hear someone talk about the Trinity, they're talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We have a three-part God, but he's one God. You say, but explain that to me. Sorry, I can't. You say, well, I need to think about this a little bit. That's exactly what Philip was saying. Philip said, wow, that's different. And Jesus said, well, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you know the Father, you know me. And I think that Philip just wanted to ponder it. He wanted to think through it. And hey, I'll tell you this. You have somebody come along and throw out some new doctrine at you, you better ponder it. You'd be suckered into some false doctrine somewhere along the way. There's nothing new under the sun, but Philip heard this, and I really don't think Philip was trying to be sinful. I think Philip was trying to be wise. I think Philip was trying to be cautious. I think Philip was being careful that he understood what he was being taught, and he wanted to get it right. I appreciate that about Philip. Again, Philip was a little different than Peter. Philip was a little different than James and John. They were very loud. They were more bombastic. They were maybe a little more visual energy. But I certainly appreciate the caution of Philip. Tonight, I want to give you a handful, maybe a half a dozen very simple things about which you should be slow. Some things that you should be slow about. They're not, again, they won't be complicated. Anybody could teach this lesson. I just had to come up with something to say tonight so I could get my paycheck this week. And so these are things that I think we should be cautious about and be slow about. Number one, be slow spending any large amount of money. Be slow spending any large amount of money. You say, preacher, what's a large amount of money? Now, $20 is a large amount to me. Oh, my folks, you can make mistakes very quickly by spending money quickly. When I was growing up, my dad told me, especially when it came to buying a car, he would say, son, don't go buy a car all on the same day. Now, I realize that, you know, you get out there and everybody's got their sales pitch, and if you don't buy it today, it could be gone tomorrow. I'm not going to tell you what timing to use when you're spending your money, but I am going to tell you this. You better be slow, especially if it's going to launch you into debt, especially if it's going to take a lot of money. Be careful to be an impulse buyer. The spring hits, the summer hits, and the convertible cars all look so good. And boy, you can just picture yourself in it, and you're going to have that thing no matter what it costs you. Yeah, well, that's a pretty bad attitude to have. That'll get you into trouble. You know, many times once I've pondered the spending of a big amount of money, the next day I say, I'm not spending it. I'm not going to spend that. Be careful how you quickly spend money on cars. Be careful how you quickly spend money on houses. Boy, that's a big expense. That's a lot of money. I say to you, let's be like Philip. Let's ponder it. Think about it. Pray about it. Be careful now. More people make mistakes spending money by spending it too quickly than too slowly. Now, I realize there are certain times if you don't get it and you don't get it now, you could lose a good deal. But there are far more people that get burnt or get themselves into a financial jam by spending too quickly. Business deals, quickly. Business loans, be careful. Y'all remember when we were trying to buy the Econo Lodge because we were going to put a college in there, and we had negotiated, then we had negotiated with the bank and everybody, and they sat down at the table. It was a $4 million loan, and at the last minute, they wanted us to pay an extra 0.5% of interest. And I think they thought that I wanted it so bad that we would buy it. And I said to them, nope, we're not going to do it. We walked away from the table. You say, why? Do you realize how much 0.5% is on $4 million? I think we made the right decision, to be honest. We walked. And I think we did the right thing. Did we know at that moment the economy would go down and down and down? We weren't sure of that. But because we did not act impetuously, because we did not act quickly, because we did not want something so bad we'd risk it all to get it, I think God protected us. I say to you, be slow in spending large amounts of money. Number two, be slow to quit or to change jobs. Be slow to quit or to change jobs. Hey, you ought to be glad you have a job right now. You ought to be glad. And listen, folks, I understand it. I'm not trying to counsel anybody about a job tonight. I don't have anybody in mind. I counsel a lot about job opportunities. But I'll tell you something, folks. You can go into work on a given day and everything's falling apart. The boss is on your back and somehow you didn't get your lunch break and they shorted you $29.95 on your paycheck. And by the end of the day, you've just had it with the place and you're going to walk out and they're going to crumble because they need you desperately. Could I recommend you calm down before you turn in your resignation? You all know what I mean, don't you? It's a good thing you calm yourself before you get your walking shoes on, because you'll be unemployed and then you'll be in trouble and you'll look back and say, maybe I should have waited a little while. When I worked secularly, I watched guys get all wound up, get mad, get huffy, and walk out. See him 3 weeks later wanting to borrow $5 for gas. I still had my job. And just so you know, there's no such thing as a perfect job anyway. They don't exist. They don't exist. But I just say to you, you ought to be careful. You ought to be careful before you quit a job or change jobs. Be grateful for the job that you have. Pray about it and counsel about it. And folks, not all the positives are as easily seen. Sometimes you need to calculate in benefits and how far the distance is between here and work. You say, well, I work with this guy and he's a jerk. The next place you go, they have a jerk waiting on you. No jobs are jerkless. It's true. And so I say, be slow in spending large amounts of money. Be slow, like Philip, in changing jobs or quitting jobs. Number three, be slow in sending someone a hot letter. Be slow. You know, I'll tell you something. Hey, maybe I need to put in here a hot text or a hot tweet or blog or hog or whatever that is. You better be careful before you jump on Facebook and you start writing hot words that you're going to post. Let me explain something, folks. Once you put it in print, you can't get it back. You can't get it back. I would recommend you say, I'm going to put this on paper and I'm going to give it to him. You want to put it on paper, then get down on your knees and pray about it. And just let that thing set for a couple of days. Now, I thank God, you will not find anybody anywhere that has ever received a nasty letter from me. No one. Never one of my pastors. Never one of my employees. No one in this congregation or the congregations that I have tried to serve prior to this. You say, why? Because I don't send out hot letters like that. I think about them. You could even ask my secretaries. I don't even write them. Because I already know I'm not going to send them. But there's some of you put things on paper and you give it to someone when you're angry and you say things you should have never said. You'll say things that you regret. So I say to you, let's be like Philip. Let's think before we move. Let's be a little slower. Let's calculate the fallout of our behavior. And so I would say, be slow about sending out a hot or a mean letter. I'd say, be slow about quitting your job or changing jobs. I would say, be slow about spending large amounts of money. May I say also, if I could recommend to you, be slow about speaking your mind. Be slow about speaking your mind. Some of you need to bite your tongue a little bit. Bridle your lips. Some of you need to learn how to let it go. Did you know that you don't have to comment on everything? You don't have to comment on everything. I would say it would be very, very wise that some of you speak your mind a little more slowly. Be careful what you say. We sometimes interject ourselves and we make things worse instead of making them better. No, and I'm not afraid of someone saying to another, I don't see it like that. I don't think we have to all the time be quiet when there's disagreement. But I think a lot of times when there's disagreement, it's silly, foolish and immature to interject ourselves. I could not tell you the number of people that I'll stand in their presence and they'll say this or say that and say this and say that. I just say nothing. Because I don't figure what I'm going to say is going to make any difference anyway. You need to be careful always speaking your mind. I could help a lot of your marriages. You don't always have to tell your mate that you disagree. You know, most of the things that married people fuss about don't count for anything tomorrow. Just something the devil is trying to use to ruin today. Oh, be careful speaking your mind. Say, well, that's just the way I am. I'll just tell you everything that's on my mind. You're a knucklehead. You better not let everything that's in your mind out of your mouth. That could get awful nasty and evil and revenge. Now, the Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Oh, I'd be careful speaking your mind with every little thing and every person. I'll tell you why some of you, you're not going to get anywhere at work. You can't keep your mouth shut. There, you know, anything at work that's not just the way you think it ought to be, you're running your mouth to everybody in the shop and running your mouth to everybody at work, and you don't think that the manager's going to find out that you run your mouth all the time? I'd be careful. Just be slow to speak your mind. You say, I want to give him a piece of my mind. A few of you don't have very many pieces left to give. I'd hang on to what you have. So, Philip was cautious. Philip was a little bit more of a slow mover. He was a man that was trying to calculate things. He wanted to know how his behavior was going to affect. What would the fallout be? What would the domino effect be of his behavior? So he was cautious, and I appreciate it. I think we need to be slow in spending large amounts of money, and slow to quit or change jobs, and be slow to send out a hot letter, and be slow to speak your mind. I want to recommend this. I'd be slow in giving up your spiritual duties. Be slow in giving up your spiritual duties. Let me say to everybody here, the devil wants all of us to quit everything we do for God. That's his ultimate goal. Everybody here, the devil's goal is that you quit everything you're doing for God. Now, he'll take anything he can get. And so, again, let's all just be honest and human. Everybody wants to quit something every once in a while. Now, I think sometimes that there's necessary change of duties. I think that. I think sometimes people's schedules, they shift. And I know folks that they have another baby, and as a result of it, their life complicates a little bit. Boy, there are all sorts of shifting and moving of duties, and that's not sinful, and there's nothing wrong with it. But I just know that there's all sorts of people that they just want to quit. I'm just going to quit this. Folks, everybody wants to quit from time to time. But I would be careful giving up your spiritual duties, because you got to realize something. The devil wants you to give up your spiritual duties. Did you know that quitting is a habit? I'd be careful forming a quitting habit. But be slow to give up your spiritual duties. Do your best to grow upon them and to grow with them. Let me go on. Be like Philip in the fact that you're slow to find blame or to pronounce guilt upon others. To find blame or cast blame and to pronounce guilt. Folks, we believe, and the Bible teaches, that someone is innocent until proven guilty in your mind. No, it's not in your mind, beyond any shadow of a doubt. Now listen, people are so quick to cast blame or to pronounce guilt. Well, I'm just sure she did this, or I'm just sure she did that. It may be that you ought to keep your mouth shut, ponder it, watch, listen. You know that really none of us ought to want anybody to be guilty of anything. I mean, if we love each other, don't we all want everyone to do the right thing? And shouldn't we all hope that we're all going to do the right thing? Should we be sitting on the edge of our seat just hoping somebody's guilty? Boy, is that a nasty, nasty, negative way to live.
Right.
But I'll tell you something, folks. We can hurt people so bad by prematurely pronouncing guilt. We can hurt people so bad by casting blame and being in a hurry about it. I make my biggest mistakes in regard to justice when I go too fast. The people that help you take the disciplinary measures at Martinsburg Christian Academy, any disciplinary measures that I attend to, everybody will tell you, when something's brought to me, I just put the brakes on. I say, well, slow down. Somebody said, well, somebody needs to be punished today. And I'll say, well, let's just relax here a second. I want to do a little research. I want to make sure what we were told is the truth. I want to ponder this. I want to make sure And you know something? You'll find out sooner or later. We find out the truth. And if somebody deserves demerits or a spanking or something, they get it. They get it. Oh, but I want to be careful casting blame. Hey, I love the people that I work with, and I'd rather not find them guilty. Now, I will find them guilty, and if they're guilty, they'll be guilty. That's the way it is. Not my fault they're guilty. But at the same time, I want to be careful. Parents, we can be so quick sometimes. We can be so quick with our children to pronounce them as guilty. We can be so quick to cast blame. Oh, my. I say Philip had a quality. It was a quality he pondered, he thought before he moved. And I think it made him somewhat a stable disciple. You know, you had Peter that was quick on the draw and Philip that was a little more careful and a little more tedious in his thinking. And I think that's a wonderful thing. Let me go on. And I said this, be slow in spending large amounts of money. Be slow in changing jobs or to quit your job. Number three, be slow to send out anything in print, whether it is via the internet or your telephone. Be careful what you say that's mean or nasty toward people. Number four, be slow to speak your mind. Number five, be slow to give up your spiritual duties. Number six, be slow to blame or to pronounce guilt. Number seven, be slow to anger. Be slow to anger. Oh, boy, do we need to work on this. And folks, let me tell you all, when it gets hot, tempers can flare. When things are inconvenient, tempers can flare. I think one of the worst problems I deal with personally is I'm a very busy person. I get a million and one things going on around me, and I have got to get a bigger shock absorber inside my spirit, because when I'm busy and I'm in a hurry, I'm also quick to anger. And I've got to work on myself. I've got to work on myself. Some of you, you can fight at the drop of a hat. Matter of fact, there doesn't even need to be a hat, and it doesn't even need to be dropped. You're quick to anger. You're better off being slow to anger. And God is our example of this. The United States of America ought to be thankful that God is slow to anger. America is pushing God to his limits. No doubt about it. We can be glad that God is slow to anger, and husbands need to learn to be slow to anger, and wives need to learn to be slow to anger, and parents need to be slow to anger, and teenagers, brothers and sisters need to be slow to anger toward one another, and leaders in the church ought to be slow to anger toward the followers, and followers ought to be slow to anger toward the leaders, and some of you need to be slow to anger at work. Slow to anger. You see, Philip was cautious. He was cautious. Be slow about borrowing and spending large amounts of money. Be slow to quit or change jobs. Be slow sending a hot letter. Be slow to speak your mind. Be slow to give up your spiritual duties. Be slow to pronounce guilt or find blame, cast blame. Be slow to anger. And then this is the last point, and I'm finished. Be slow with people who are not slow. Be slow with people who are not slow. Let me tell you something. Learn to be slow with people that are quick to anger. Some of you, they draw you out. You get that person that just loses it real quick and they've got that bite to them. Why don't you just chill out in their presence? You know, they're quick to snap at you and quick to cast blame and quick to find guilt. They're quick to anger. How about you be slow with people who are quick? Hey, be slow. Be slow with those that are quick to change jobs. Be patient. Be slow with those that send out hot letters. You want to know something? If I ever respond to a hot letter, I'm very slow to do it. And most of the time, I don't put anything on paper. If I think there is a response necessary, I will very kindly call and say, sure, sorry, I disappointed you. I don't start letter fights. Got so many immature fundamentalists today. The internet and everything, they're just fighting all over the place. Writing things that will go down in history. You'll notice I don't participate in any of it. I don't answer my critics. I'm too busy. I've got soul winning to do. I need to pray, read my Bible, change the world, not fight with you. Nah, 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 nah. You got all sorts of people out there that would just love for me to fight with them. Come on, brother. Come on. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. You just go shadow box in the corner, wear yourself out, and make yourself feel good. I got too much to do that. I'm not going to spend my life that way. Be slow with those that are not slow. I'll tell you what. In a marriage, you say, my husband's quick to anger. Then you be slow with he who is quick. You say, my wife is quick to anger. Be slow with him or her who is quick. Be slow. Learn to be slow with those who respond too quickly. Let me explain. Leadership, that's what real leadership does. When others are acting quickly and unwisely, leadership is behaving properly. They're moving slow for the sake of those around them. And again, some of you, you're hearing this word slow and you're loving every minute of it. You're half dead right now. You need to speed up a little bit. Some of you, you got so many plans for someday. Boy, that someday is never going to get here. But many folks need to be like Philip. They need to be a little slower in certain areas of decision making in their life. There are others. We're not going to try to go into them tonight. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Things about which we can be slow. I hope you listened. I hope you'll calculate some of this into your thinking or behavior. If you're here tonight, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We want to invite you to the Savior. If you say, I've been really thinking about that. Now, this is something you ought to act upon quickly now. You need to get born again. If you're not saved and you've been thinking about it, you've thought enough. Now it's time to get saved. There's somebody here tonight and you're not right with God. Don't you take forever to get right with God. You might need to act on that a little bit more quickly. Oh, but yet there are others here this evening. You're just so quick to pass judgment and quick to anger and quick to spend money and quick to make decisions and quick to change your life and quick to do this. And you need to get a little more wisdom about you. Get a little more wisdom about you. Who here tonight would say, preacher, tuck somewhere in the sermon of this evening, God has spoken to my heart. Would you raise your hand and say, God's spoken to me about something this evening. God bless you. You may put your hands down if you need the altar. It will be open to you. I'll ask the instrumentalist to begin to play.